You're listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Almost entirely preventable. Screening finds polyps.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today on the road, so hopefully we'll have a good quality connection with you. Today, we're going to look at health and nutrition, and a little later on, we'll be taking some calls. I want to set aside a whole program on how we can live a longer and healthier life. We're going to learn about ginger and ways that it can help us you never thought. How cannabis extract fights incurable form of leukemia successfully. Five important vitamin combinations for optimal health. Maca root, it says something really good for you, and I'll talk about that. Also, a more in-depth discussion on a new autoimmunity syndrome linked to aluminum in vaccines. Also, our classroom on the air today will be about pycnogenol. It has a lot of benefit, and I'll be sharing that from Sarah Brighton from Life Extension. And coming up, I have on our Progressive Commentary Hour at 7 p.m., we'll be doing an in-depth analysis on conspiracies. I think it's time that the American public knew the conspiracies exist everywhere, and only by looking at court cases settled, and you'll see that they conspired. But look at it from this perspective. Why do they deny it? What is it that they cannot accept when we find out that General Motors engaged in a conspiracy to conceal defects in a car which led to deaths and injuries? Why can't they accept the conspiracy of when a pharmaceutical company knows in advance from their science that this would be defective and would likely cause an increase in heart attacks and strokes? Well, it did, over 60,000. Yet they found that it would be profitable. And they were right. They won. They made $22 billion. They only had to pay $5 billion. No one went to jail. No one was personally charged. They didn't even have to withdraw the product from the market, if you can believe that. At no time did the FDA mandate a withdrawal. They voluntarily withdrew it 4 years after it was out. They had made their money. They could go on to their next crime. That's a conspiracy. In fact, that was revealed by a former top executive at the FDA in oversight, Dr. David Graham. And yet, when Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, when all these banks engage in regular conspiracies, and they're proven that these were conspiracies involving dozens to hundreds to thousands of individuals, we refuse to accept that we are a nation of conspiracies. Well, I will deal with that in depth with three of the greatest scholars in the world on conspiracies and showing you we've always had this problem because the people in power control the media. And that means they control the message. Let's begin. We have a lot to share. First up, I grow ginger. It's a beautiful plant. You'll get nice white flowers, and it can grow 10, 15, 20 feet high. It has a weak stem, so at a certain point it just kind of all bows over, in which case you cut it back, and it grows again. It is not in the stem or the flower. It's in the root. Ginger root is where the benefit is. And normally I suggest taking about a quarter to a half inch of ginger. You can throw it in the juice. Now, if you were to have the flu or cold or something where your body needs some really powerful antibacterial, antiviral agent, immune stimulating agent, I would take a whole piece. In cooking, you scrape off the skin. You can dice it, slice it, chop it, and use it in any number of dishes. But according to Case Adams in Real Natural, ginger is one of the most versatile food spice herbs known. In fact, it's fundamental in treating almost all conditions in traditional Chinese medicine and in Ayurvedic medicine, even in Thai medicine and Japanese Kampo medicine. All of these use ginger. Researchers are now starting to see that, gee whiz, there's a reason why. In the last 5 years, a number of human clinical studies have shown some of ginger's amazing properties to treat and prevent all kinds of conditions. First, ginger is a universal medicine in Ayurveda. And Ayurveda, by the way, which is the oldest medicine practice still in use, ginger is the most recommended botanical medicine. It's referred to as the universal medicine. And there's lots of studies and chemical analysis, over 2,000, and it shows that there's over 477 active constituents or phytonutrients within ginger. And these can have different effects upon your physiology. But let's go through them. It's anti-inflammatory. In fact, the active ingredient in ginger can reduce pain anywhere in the body. It also can inhibit COX and LOX enzymes in a balanced manner, and this allows for a gradual reduction in inflammation and pain without the negative GI effects of, let's say, the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories like aspirin. Ginger also stimulates circulation, inhibits various infections, strengthens and detoxifies your liver. So ginger has been used as a treatment for rheumatoid arthritis, respiratory ailments, fevers, nausea, colds, flu, hepatitis. In fact, for people with hepatitis, I suggest that they use a very strong dark green juice. Now, if they can, they should use some wheatgrass juice. And for hepatitis sufferers, it's worth paying the $200 to get a wheatgrass juice press. And you can do it by hand, or you can get a little electric one. Either way, it does the same thing. It takes wheatgrass, which you can grow on a windowsill. It's so inexpensive, so easy. And you juice 6 ounces a day. You can do it all at once and then refrigerate it. And so you put 2 ounces in a glass. Then you add in the juice of 1 inch long of ginger root. You also add in the juice of 2 lemons and then a whole grapefruit and watermelon until you get 16 ounces. Mainly it's watermelon. And then you drink that with Manuka honey. That is tremendous. Now, I'm not talking about the herbs like milk thistle. I'm talking about just as a cleansing, rebalancing, and antiviral activity in the liver itself. So it's phenomenal. Especially that same formula works for people who have been drinkers, and you want to help cleanse the liver. But herbalists classify ginger as an analgesic, a tonic, an expectorant, a carminative, an antiemetic, a stimulant, an anti-inflammatory, and antimicrobial. In fact, making ginger juice, let's say what would be about 1 ounce, and putting it into a glass of green tea with some Manuka honey and 10 drops of colloidal silver and 10 drops of wild oregano oil, and then sipping that throughout a morning will help kill staph and strep and other viruses in your throat. And earlier studies have found that ginger is an effective remedy for reducing pain from arthritis. And in fact, whole ginger is clinically proven to reduce nausea and stomach ache and ulcers and other gastrointestinal problems. But some of the big studies recently, just a few months ago, found that ginger applied topically onto the skin can significantly reduce pain and inflammation from osteoarthritis. This was done at the Australia's Edith Cowan University, where they studied elderly adults with osteoporosis. But there's another study from Thailand's Thammasat University. They found that a gel made from ginger and a ginger relative called PLAI, P-L-A-I, significantly reduced knee pain and mobility and quality of life among a group of patients tested. And another study, 440 people with osteoarthritis were tested with an Ayurvedic combination of ginger plus cordifolia and Imbilica and Boswellia. And those given the Ayurvedic combination had pain relief that closely matched that of a pharmaceutical drug Celebrex. Well, I wouldn't recommend anyone use Celebrex because of all the complaints of cardiovascular and other side effects. Then another study from Russia's Central Gastrointestinal Scientific Research Institute tested ginger against the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory with 43 patients, and they found that the 340 milligrams of ginger extract was given for 4 weeks, and the ginger group had similar pain and inflammation reduction as did the drug. But remember that there was no side effects that could hurt the person with ginger. Always side effects could hurt you with a drug. So even with chemotherapy and nausea, a University of Rochester Medical Center found that 576 cancer patients using a half a gram, that's 500 milligrams, up to 1.5 grams per day, a powdered ginger, significantly reduced nausea among patients receiving chemotherapy. Another study from the All India Institute of Medical Sciences found that ginger root given to chemotherapy patients significantly reduced nausea among bone cancer patients. And just as an aside, right now, if you were to go to some of the places in India, and by the way, I saw a film the other day. There's several films that I'll be recommending, mainly art films. But there was one that wasn't an art film. It was a small mainstream film, The Million Dollar Arm. It's about recruiting, and it's based on a true story. The first two Indian baseball players in history, and that's because India doesn't play baseball. They play cricket. That's their national sport. Other countries, it's soccer. Well, India also has a soccer phobia, but cricket is just, it's everywhere. And the efforts to try to find people who could throw and how they put on a contest all over India. And so thousands upon thousands of people showed up, and two guys were selected, came back. And all of the efforts that they had in 6 months to get them ready to try out, but it gave some very realistic cinematography of the crowds, the smells, the sounds, a moment of clarity and beauty, and then overwhelmed with poverty and just brutal ugliness. That's also India, and that's irrespective of the corruption. Oh, they also showed that in the film. But in any case, in India, they have recovery hospitals and what are called TORS hospitals. Now, these are rather unique because we'd like to think we had the best medical system in the world. We do not. We have one of the worst because so much of what we do is over-medicating, over-treating, and then looking at how many patients are injured or die because of medical treatment. So some people began to go to other countries. They were warned not to. These are not American doctors. First of all, that's highly racist. And you're liable to get a woman doctor in one of these countries. That's misogynist. Nothing new there, not from our perspective. And these are dirt poor. Not true. In fact, some of these countries, there are areas that are extremely educated. In fact, there are more educated people in India than there are educated people in the United States. That's something we don't like to think about. But it's a fact. We do terrible on all the math and science and engineering studies compared to others around the world. Japan's better, China's better, Russia's better, and India is better than we are in these studies. So here you've got highly educated, very qualified people, but they have a difference. They know the best of orthodox approaches. The hospitals have quality care, but a lot of them are now at the ocean. And there's a beautiful, almost resort quality to it. So you get your procedure, whatever it is. Let's say you had your cancer surgery. Then when they are helping you recover, you're recovering in a holistic environment. You're getting quality organic food and juices and herbs, because that's how they've always lived. They combine Ayurvedic and Orthodox principles. And people will pay one-tenth what they would pay for the same procedure without recovery. Here you're recovering in a hospital and you're paying upwards of $1,400 a day just to be in one of those hospital beds. There, you're paying about $150 a day. Big difference. So just keep that in mind the next time you're faced with a dilemma of not being able to afford a medical procedure, we never talk about what if we went to Belgium, where it's one-fifth as expensive. What if we went to India, that has probably the best aesthetic for recovery in the world? So we're not limited to the United States. In any case, they use it all the time, ginger, for chemotherapy. And there was an Emory University study found that ginger can reduce colon cancer proliferation. And the researchers tested people with an increased risk of colorectal cancer. They gave them 2 grams, that's 2,000 milligrams. That's a small amount. That's like not even a fifth of a teaspoon of powdered ginger, or they gave them a placebo for 28 days. What they found was that the ginger group had lower expressions of signs of cancer among the intestinal walls. A similar study was done at the University of Michigan Medical School. Researchers confirmed that ginger reduced cancer cell expression among intestinal cells as they tested 20 high cancer risk people, again, with just 2 grams a day. That's a small amount. In another study, University of Michigan Medical School researchers studied ginger with 30 patients for 28 days. They found that ginger significantly reduced inflammation markers of PGE2 and 12-HETE. It also helps to deal with the respiratory virus, what's called the RSV virus. A study from Thailand's College of Medicine and Kosuing Medical University found that fresh ginger is an effective treatment against human respiratory virus. And they also found that the study tested ginger-infected lung and liver cells. A study in Iran's Hyhid University of Medical Sciences found that ginger improved breathing and oxygenation in patients with acute respiratory distress syndrome. It enhances athletic performance. Another study found that ginger was effective in increasing athletic performance. And this was with women using 3 grams at 3,000 milligrams a day or a placebo. There was significantly less inflammation and better recovery rates and reduced muscle pain. And a study from Georgia College and State University studied people for 11 days, giving part of the group either raw ginger or heat-treated ginger powder during muscle testing that produced pain. The researchers found that both the raw and the powdered ginger reduced muscle pain about the same. So you can get the powder. Then from King Saud University in Saudi Arabia, as well as India's Rangasamy College, they found that ginger successfully inhibited infective species of bacteria, including Bacillus subtilis and Pseudomonas and E. coli bacteria. So it's great as an antibiotic. And then if women have difficulty menstruating for a long time, I've suggested if they have dysmenorrhea or any problem that they use ginger. And sure enough, there's studies like the Holy Spirit Institute for Nursing found in India that nursing students were given either 1 gram of ginger powder twice a day during the first 3 days of menstruation or a progressive muscle relaxation. And the research found that those given the ginger had significantly less pain and other symptoms of dysmenorrhea than did those receiving the progressive muscle relaxation. And researchers at the Department of Midwifery in Shahid University tested women with difficult menstruation. They gave the women either a placebo or 1,500 milligrams of powdered ginger for 5 days during the period of menstruation. And they found that the ginger group had significantly less pain. Irritable bowel syndrome, also studies done, show it benefited them. And post-op nausea, New York Methodist Hospital gave 239 women either ginger or placebo prior to being given anesthesia for C-section. Those given the ginger had reduced intraoperative nausea during the C-section. Glucose sensitivity, Tabriz University Medical School in Iran found that giving type 2 diabetics ginger 2 grams a day in powdered form or placebo, the powdered ginger lowered the insulin levels, improved insulin sensitivity, and had lower LDL cholesterol and lower triglycerides compared to placebo. Columbia University researchers found that overweight men given ginger for breakfast burn more calories, what is called thermogenesis, and reduced hunger. And migraines, Kansas Headache Care Center tests a combination of ginger and feverfew on 60 patients. The placebo didn't work, but ginger did help get rid of the migraines and digestion. Taiwan's Chang Gung University College of Medicine studied patients with heartburn, giving them 300 milligrams of ginger, and it substantially reduced it. So that's a classroom on the air on ginger, something most people don't think about, never use. Now you know why you should. Cannabis extract fights an incurable form of leukemia. This is from Sayer G. Green Med Info. And it's about, in fact, once I was interviewing for an article the director of the National Cancer Institute. And though he personally favored using more of the research funds on natural therapies and had told me that he saw benefit to them, the politics as such, especially through the American Cancer Society, which was the tail wagging the dog, meant that you didn't support natural therapies. You supported what could be patented. In fact, the American Cancer Society actually controls some patents on chemotherapy drugs, which is a gross conflict of interest. If you're on the one hand telling people, you know, get a checkup and see your doctor and have your thermography, which causes cancer, and then if you have cancer, make sure you get treated early, get surgery, radiation, chemotherapy. But if they're not telling you that they control a patent that has made them millions, tens of millions, possibly hundreds of millions of dollars, and the public's not aware of this. And also ask your oncologist, are you making any money off this outside of what I'm paying you for your fee? And a lot of them have to say yes, $200,000 or more per year. Then take a look at the most definitive study ever done in history on the efficacy and safety of chemotherapy. And it was not done by an American. It was done by a European scholar. And he found, after looking at over 3,000 studies, it didn't work for the vast majority of cancers. Brain cancer, colon cancer, stomach cancer, lung, prostate, ovarian, and skin, it did not work. So then why do they use it? And he said because it was their belief in it. Ah, so we're not allowed to have our beliefs because they're considered subjective, but they're allowed to have their beliefs. It just shows you how absolutely contradictory so much of life is. In any case, the one area that this doctor said was very beneficial was the four-stage approach, the four drugs used for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and leukemia. What we didn't know at the time was indeed you do have a high degree of remission, and that's good. But the fact that you have a remission and you don't see the tumor anymore doesn't mean that your body is cured. Because what we now know is about 20 years later, cancer returns with a vengeance, and then you have a high mortality rate. So we have to look at long-term impact of these therapies. So a remarkable case report documents a 14-year-old girl who, after 34 months of chemo and radiation and bone marrow transplant treatments, was simply given up for dead. Her family discovered research on cannabis extract, and before she died, a secondary complication of the original treatment used it successfully to put her leukemia into remission. There are plenty of anecdotal reports of the success of cannabis extract in treating cancer, but few cases occur under conventional medical supervision, and virtually none make it into peer-reviewed biomedical journals as a case report. Remarkably, however, just such a case was reported in Case Reports on Oncology last year and involved a 14-year-old girl diagnosed with a form of cancer of the white blood cells known as acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Now, despite a high remission rate for all 5 years of treatment, about 94% in children and 40% in adults using conventional combination of chemotherapy, this particular child was diagnosed with a very aggressive and conventional treatment-resistant form of this leukemia. And she had a mutated gene and after undergoing a protracted series of unsuccessful conventional treatments over the course of 34 months, including bone marrow transplant, which is extremely painful, and aggressive chemotherapy and radiation, the girl's case was pronounced incurable, with the patient's oncologist stating that, quote, she suffers from terminal malignant disease, expecting her condition to progress rapidly towards death. Because the family received no other suggestions for treatment beyond just go home and take care of her, they decided to do research on their own, stumbling on a paper published in Nature Reviews, Cancer, in 2003, entitled Cannabinoids, Potential Anti-Cancer Agents, which encouraged them to administer oral cannabis extracts to the patient. Now, here's from the actual case report. Quote, the family found promise in an organization known as Phoenix Tears, led by Rick Simpson, who had treated several cancers with hemp oil, an extract from the cannabis plant. Rick worked with the family to help them prepare the extract. With Rick Simpson's assistance, the family used cannabis oil extract for the next 78 days, with regular monitoring of the blast cell count, the primary indicator of the malignant progression of the disease. The figure below shows the successful suppression of the blast cells using cannabis extract. Then it goes on to talk about it. So, a life saved that medicine had given up on. So I would hope that people begin to realize that this was published, rare that that is, after terminal. And so we need to get more people paying attention to that. Also, the bacteria, there's one bacteria that causes tooth decay, acne and tuberculosis, and pneumonia that can be killed by a single seed. From PreventDisease.com, gram-positive bacteria, which causes tooth decay and acne and tuberculosis and streptococcus and leprosy, they're all killed by chemicals present in cashew nuts, which are actually seeds. What is called an ANA, A-N-A, cardic, C-A-R-D-I-C, anacardic chemicals. Now, cashew nuts are actually the kidney-shaped seeds that adhere to the bottom of the cashew apple, the fruit of the cashew tree, which is native to the coastal areas of northeastern Brazil. You've probably noticed that cashews in the shell are not available in stores. This is because these nuts are always sold pre-shelled, since the interior of their shells contains a caustic resin known as cashew balm, which must be carefully removed before they are fit for consumption. And the caustic resin is actually used in industry to make varnishes and insecticides. Today, the leading commercial producers of cashews are India, Brazil, Mozambique, Tanzania, and Nigeria. Now, cashews are an excellent source of copper, phosphorus, magnesium, manganese, and zinc. But not only do cashews have a lower fat content than most other nuts, most people think they're higher. They're not. Approximately 82% of their fat is unsaturated fatty acids, plus about 66% of this unsaturated fat content is the heart-healthy monounsaturated fats, similar to those found in olive oil. Now, studies of diabetic patients show that monounsaturated fat, when added to a low-fat diet, can help to reduce high triglyceride levels, and triglycerides, as this audience knows, are a form in which fats are carried in the blood, and high triglyceride levels are associated with an increased risk of heart disease. So ensuring you have some monounsaturated fats in your diet by enjoying cashews, it's just common sense. But here's where it gets really interesting. One of the most incredible compounds in cashew nuts are its anacardic acids, which kill gram-positive bacteria responsible for tooth decay, acne, tuberculosis, and streptococcus, and leprosy. A solution of one part anacardic acid to 200,000 parts of water, as low as one part in 2 million, is actually lethal to gram-positive bacteria in 15 minutes. So cashew nut shell liquid and the contained anacardic acids have also been shown to possess antioxidants, anti-Helicobacter pylori, anti-tumor properties. This means it has the tools to defeat both cancer and many types of ulcers in the gut. And despite these known effects, I haven't seen a single piece on this anywhere. In fact, writing in Nature's British Journal of Cancer, a team behind a recent analysis reported that consumption of nuts, including cashew nuts, was found to be inversely associated with the risk of pancreatic cancer. Meaning the more nuts you eat, the less pancreatic cancer you suffer from. Now, that's independent of other risk factors for pancreatic cancer. It can also help prevent gallstones. In fact, they collected data on 80,000 women from the Nurses' Health Study that showed that women who eat 1 ounce of cashew nuts each week have a 25% lower risk of developing gallstones. Now, since 1 ounce is only 28, let's see, that'd be, an ounce would be about somewhere around 28 nuts, maybe 2.5 tablespoons nut butter. It takes a little bit, just a little handful of cashews. This is an afternoon pick-me-upper. Or throw them in a bowl of oatmeal. Or throw them in your blender. So eating nuts, especially cashews, extremely good for you. And finally, before we take our break here, 5 important vitamin C combinations for optimal, or vitamin combinations for optimal health from Christina Sarich, Natural Society. Vitamin E in sesame seeds. That's because vitamin E, we know, is a universal anti-inflammatory and antioxidant. It protects your heart. And also the tocotrienols. The tocotrienols are not easy for your body to assimilate. And only the fat and skin tissues can really absorb them. So eating a little bit of sesame seeds or a little tahini will make the vitamin E tocotrienols absorbable by 500%. Vitamin D and vitamin K, 2 nutrients are superstars all by themselves. But when you combine them, you make a more protective effect against osteoarthritis and osteoporosis. And then vitamin C and iron. A study published in the International Journal of Vitamin and Nutrition Research states, quote, a higher bioavailability of the dietary iron can be achieved by increasing the content of food components enhancing iron absorption, like vitamin C, or by decreasing the content of inhibitors like phytates and tannins. So that's good. Vitamin B12 and black pepper. Vitamin B12 helps create your genes, protects your nerves, aids metabolism. But it's also important to have that black pepper because it makes a big difference in its absorption. Piperine, P-I-P-E-R-I-N-E, a component in black pepper, can help the body absorb B12 better. And finally, vitamin A and beta carotene. It helps increase the absorption of iron in food, and that's important. Also, if men, women, want to increase your libido, help treat sexual dysfunction, maca root, M-A-C-A. It's been used by a lot of people in South America. There was a study published in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology that found that maca root could significantly improve sexual performance and fertility in a study they did. And also, there was 2 double-blind studies that have confirmed that maca root can help treat sexual dysfunction in humans. And first published was a study in Andrologia, and there was another one in Neurosciences and Therapeutics. So make sure you get, don't take a lot of it, like 1 gram. That's not much. And finally, a little bit on from Celeste McGovern from GreenMed Info on a new autoimmune syndrome is linked to aluminum in vaccines. I'll quote this. Quote, leading immunologists at the International Congress on Autoimmunity link aluminum in vaccines to a new post-vaccine syndrome. And while anti-vaccine people are being smeared in public campaigns as backward and unscientific fearmongers, a growing body of cutting-edge research is emerging from the top echelons of medical immunology to confirm what the anti-vaccine people have been saying for years about the devastating effect of vaccine ingredients. The biggest names in the field of study of the human immune system are attached to current papers in the most prestigious immunological literature that link widely used vaccine ingredients such as aluminum to terrifying modern epidemics of immune-mediated diseases, including autism and Alzheimer's. As well, they've identified an entirely new post-vaccine syndrome called autoimmune inflammatory syndrome induced by adjuvants, ASIA. And while the study of ASIA is shining light on the underlying mechanisms through which vaccine ingredients trigger disease, it is also exposing cracks in the foundation of a century-old vaccine orthodoxy. Nearly 3,000 doctors and scientists from around the world gathered last week at the International Congress on Autoimmunity on the French Riviera. Dozens of seminars and panel discussions of causes and treatments for scores of autoimmune diseases were scheduled. But an entire day on the fourth day event held every 2 years was devoted to the International Vaccine Symposiums on the adjuvants. And it was published in the Journal of Autoimmunity by Dr. Schoenfeld. And it includes a broad spectrum of neurological and immune-mediated phenomena seen following vaccine injections, which result from exposure to their ingredients, including aluminum. And among the diagnostic criteria, after the vaccine, weakness, anxiety, rashes, chronic fatigue, sleep disorders, and the onset of a range of autoimmune diseases, including systemic lupus, erythematosus, and rheumatoid arthritis, sometimes years after an initial injection. And in fact, they called it Schoenfeld's syndrome, for Schoenfeld, who has published more than 1,700 articles in the medical literature, is widely regarded as the world's leading authority on autoimmunity and disease that results when certain proteins in the body lose their immune privilege or protected status, and the machinery of the human defense system mistakes them as foreign invaders and launches an assault. Quote, ASIA is a wide concept that includes an environmental factor which is demonstrated to trigger autoimmune conditions. And so there you have it. One of the most famous immunologists in the world, he's telling you, aluminum and vaccines, dangerous, and 3,000 other scientists are all there. Did you hear a single word anywhere in the American media about this? Absolutely not, and you won't, because they know who pays their bills for their advertising. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to take a brief break and come back. I'll be opening up the forum for calls. You can call us at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment.
Anyone who ever loved could look at me and know that I love you. Anyone who ever dreamed could look at me and know I dream of you. Knowing I love you so.
Welcome, all of you. Special call out to all of you around the world. We have a lot listening in the United States and Canada, but from Ireland, from Great Britain, in the United Kingdom, Germany, to all those wonderful people in Sweden and Switzerland, who whole groups in Switzerland are listening together, and they get together and they have social meetings and they talk about some of the issues. We're happy to hear that you're dialoguing on important issues. So we'll keep giving you a lot to think about. First off, I want to thank all of you who came to the demonstration, the March Against Monsanto, on Saturday. It was a not just a well-attended, it was a spectacularly attended event. I filmed the entire event, and I will be editing it starting tomorrow, probably the day after. I will get segments from each of the speakers. Everyone had something to say that was extremely relevant. I want to thank the organizers. I think you all did a really good job, and we got it all in just under the wire when the march started by 3 o'clock, and I was happy to be the keynote and part of it, and we will continue our campaign of informing people. And by the way, Seeds of Death, the film, because I gave it to the society instead of showing it to earn money in a movie theater or television, millions upon millions upon millions have sought it out. Tens of millions have sought it out. So we are taking a step towards informing, enlightening, educating the public to empower them to say, yes, we want labeling for GMO, and no, we don't want a national law that we usurp state laws. That's what they're trying to do now. So it was a great day, and I want to thank everyone for being there. Because when I asked how many people were here from my audience, the majority of the people's hands went up from all walks of life, all cultures, all races, all ages. So thank you. Let's say hello now before we go forward and take your calls. And we're going to be taking as many calls as we can. I'll save my comments on Pignogenol. I did Ginger's, our classroom of the air today. I didn't realize, because when I get into a stream of consciousness, I just let it rip on all this information we have, so you really become informed on it. And tomorrow it'll be on Pignogenol. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi, holistic nurse. And because I'm frequently on the road where I am now, I have a homeless center that is run by two nuns in Philadelphia that has found housing for thousands of people, and I didn't know about them. So I want to film them, some of the people they've helped, and then we'll include this in the feature film on homelessness, which will probably be premiering the 1st of September. In any case, Luann is here. Nice to have you with us, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Well, first I want to just share one thing. There's been a lot of chatter about the march against Monsanto. There were two Suffolk County locations out on Long Island, one in Nassau. Very, very well attended, very vocal people. What was the most impressive for me, though, was the fact that it was never mentioned on any major news media, especially we had our News 12 Long Island, not a word, not a word, nothing on ABC, NBC, ABC, nothing on this march and how significant it was. And it really speaks to the fact of the major influence that Monsanto has and the stranglehold it has on our media. So I just wanted to
Here's something more significant from my perspective. I didn't expect them to cover it. Thank goodness I have my camera crew there, so when I was being interviewed by Business Week and another publication, I filmed them filming me just to see whether or not they will be accurate in what they say.
Good.
But I saw no other people who were in the so-called progressive, and I say so-called progressive media because I only know of one progressive radio network in the world, and we're it. But what I did see is I saw people from this audience. I did not see any show hosts. I didn't see anyone from MSNBC. None of the other people who claim that they're for the people, I saw none there. But then again, I never see them. Not when it comes to being activist. Not when it comes to joining hands with the people during the marches, unless it's something safe. You know, if you're trying to get street credibility, yeah, you can go and join a march, and you may believe it or you may not believe it. You may be, just be taking an opportunity of it. But when you go up against specific corporations that are in full alignment with the particular administration that you are a part of or supportive of, then you see them not giving their time to this. It's not because their schedule's too busy. It's just that they don't want to be aligned with someone who could impact their careers. And that's the reality of it. Not even New York One covered it. I watched all day after that. In any case, that's who they are, and we already know who they are. Let me mention this. We are having an opportunity to help our sister station, WBAI, which, by the way, this evening at 8 p.m., I'll be doing on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm going to get the phone numbers from our Jason that people can call in, because not everyone who listens to BAI, since it has an older population, average age almost 69, is use the Internet. But they certainly could use a telephone. It will not be broadcast on BAI. It'll be my own independent investigation and thoughts. I'm speaking for no one but myself. But I intend to give a comprehensive overview on the problems of Pacifica and BAI and the solutions for Pacifica and BAI. I will not be opening up for calls, because I've already heard that there's a group of, aligned with the coup group that intend to try to call in and disrupt. They don't realize everything they do and say, I already know about it. Do you really think that being in this business this long, I wouldn't know what you're about? And you'll see that by what the insights I share tonight. Anyhow, you won't want to miss that. But in the interim, we're doing all we can to help the station pay its bills and stay alive and honor its audience. So I've come up with 13 new premiums, all brand new, all in alignment with the station. And one of them was very successful last year, brought tens of thousands of dollars into BAI, and that is a retreat. Because I donate my time, you donate your time, John Q and 20 other people donate their time, all top people, professionals, because we all care about the same thing. We care about the audience. We care about them having a forum. So what we do is we make it creative. We make it fun. We make it insightful. So we're going to meet for 1 week, June 15th to June 23rd, at a beautiful place, not in New York State. And we're going to have the best cooking classes. We have four different chefs, by the way. But cooking classes, juicing classes, sprouting classes, microgreen classes, homesteading classes, artist healing classes, personal therapy, meditation, guided meditations, Qigong. We're going to have power walking classes and how you can exercise your body if you have any limitations. We're going to have lectures every night, juicing all day long, a gourmet meal, and journaling, and all in a completely natural environment with the healthiest water you could ever imagine. We're encouraging people to drink as much water as possible, to bathe in the pool, and even get herbal body soaks. So where else for $2,000 could you get that? The only reason it's $2,000, the only reason, is because I'm not charging. Because if I charge what my normal fee is for the guide a week when I'm hired by a group, and that's fine, because that's how I'm able to earn enough to help all the other causes I believe in. Well, I'm giving my time, as I did last year, and as Lou Ann is doing. So this way it's only $2,000. So give a call. You'll call Lou Ann. She's screening people simply because I want to make sure that if you're coming, that what you expect, what you hope to gain, we're actually providing. And Lou Ann, give us your criteria and what you see would be most beneficial for people to come.
Well, I'm going to share with you, Gary, the most common reasons that people are giving me that they want to come down. Because the first thing I ask people is, why are you interested in coming down? Besides the fact that they want to support the station, here's what some people are saying. One person says, I want to be an activist, but I don't know how. I'm practicing a lot of the things that you share about, you know, not shopping at these big box stores and things like that, and growing your own vegetables and learning about organic gardening. They want to learn how to be an activist without being a sacrificial lamb. That's a big one. Some other people have said, I want to walk away with an understanding of what's a good, healthy daily routine for me when I get home. In other words, I don't want to come to a place, you know, walk on coals and then go home and go back to the same old, same old. They want to look for good, practical information that they can take home with them. I have people that are saying, I'm depressed because I feel like there's so much negativity around. I'm anxious about the future. I want to learn about how to become strong and resilient as an individual, and I want to be part of a like-minded group so that I can become part of it and be a productive member. Other people are saying, I want to walk away with a good understanding of what is sustainability. you hear the words thrown around a lot, but what does that actually mean in terms of harnessing water, sprouting, learning about hydroponics, learning about organic cooking, raw foods, juicing? I want to be sustainable in my physical environment with my diet and health. And when you look at all of the different reasons that, people are coming, you're going to have just one of the most dynamic groups attending this retreat, Gary.
Well, we all offer premiums based upon what we know is important. People offer, and by the way, look at the other side of this. $2,000, you're getting all this, sleeping on the most luxurious mattresses that are made out of fibers, that breathe and organic sheets, drinking all the juice you want all day long. Alone, just on that, the average juice is $7. Now, if you had 10 juices, that's $70, just in juices. I know people that some of these retreats have 15 juices. That's $200. Then you're getting classes, counseling, and workshops. If you go out and do yoga, it's generally $20. You add up all that you're getting, it far and away exceeds what you would pay in the normal course of a day per item. On the other hand, we have people who will pay $200 for premium or $50 for premium, and they'll get a book or video, and it helps them, or a set of videos. Amy Goodman offers $2,000 to come down and have some fair trade coffee and watch her show and go out and have a meal with her. That's great. I'm sure that that's positive for people. They get to meet her. They get to enjoy, you know, watching a show being done. But that's $2,000, same as what we're offering for all this. They both count. Both of them help the station. That's the point of the object, each coming from a person's perspective. So I help people with their health, motivation, inspiration, positive, problem-solving, empowerment. So if you want to come and you want to change your life, relax, de-stress, be positive, overcome a lot of the issues that we have that are confronting us, give Luann a call. Luann, give your number.
Surely. It's 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198. I only have a couple of spots left open, and those will probably fill up quickly, but again, I interview everybody to make sure that this is the right venue for them to attend.
Good, because we were full. We've been full three times, but what happens, and it's inevitable, people find that they can't come. You know, one person thought they could afford it, I was told, and then they couldn't. Someone else now has a family member who's ill and can't make it. Someone promised that their graduating son, they would go to their some party they had, so they can't. There's always a reason why people can't make it. In life, it's who shows up that walks forward. Luann Panessi, give your number one more time.
Surely, 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198. I've been calling people back each day, and it's, like I said, Gary, it's a very, very dynamic group of people that are coming. It's going to be a phenomenal time, so give me a call.
Will do. Let's say hello to Jim from New Jersey. Hi, Jim. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. It's Tim.
Tim. Hi, Tim.
I was wondering, could you refer me to perhaps a protocol that would be something that would be a research that you've done of things that are effective for Pseudomonas aeruginosa? You mentioned that the ginger was effective in the Saudi Arabia study.
Yes. What you would have to do is first you go, the best source is going to be the Townsend Letter for Doctors and Patients. This is for almost any condition. I write there frequently. I'm guessing between 40 and 50 articles. My latest one was just up last month. And there you go to their library. You look under the condition, and then they will give you all the articles that have been published. Now, these are the cutting-edge, holistic approaches. They're not the orthodox approaches. For the orthodox approach, you would go to a PubMed, and this way you can get everything you need. Then you could work, because I'm not in New York, and I can't work with anyone. I worked until late yesterday counseling people before I left, and So get yourself into the hands of a holistic physician, and there are many. We certainly can provide you with some, and then they can. You'll first know what the holistic field says, what the research and clinical experience has, and they can help guide you. All the best to you, Tim. I'm Gary Knoll. We're here to take some calls on the things that are important to you. 888-874-4888. Let's say hello to Joel from Long Island. Hi, Joel.
Hi, how are you, Gary?
Great.
Great. Gary, I just want to thank you for all the things you, you teach me. I know so much now that I didn't know before. I've been a vegetarian for like 20 years, and I started listening to you for like 5. I do my green stuff, everything. I feel great now. Just one concern I have, Gary. I was taking vitamin C for, I think, like, I started like 3 years ago. I took it to like 20,000 milligrams a day, and everything was fine. But this last year, every time I take it, I drop it to like 3,000. Every time I take it, I get like a red eye. I don't know why is that. And I tested like 4 times already when I stopped the vitamin C. But 2 days later, everything goes away.
Here's what you should do. First, you should always modulate your vitamins and minerals up and then down. Linus Pauling used to take 18 to 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day. And we had many conversations on this. But he never took bioflavonoids. And bioflavonoids help with the absorption and utilization of vitamin C and are particularly good for helping keep your skin young, healthy, and resilient because the two together work on creating collagen, which is the connective tissue that holds it in place. It also helps modulate natural killer cell activity and also helps with the detoxification enzymes in the body, especially in the liver. But when I ask him why didn't he take anything else, like a B-complex or coenzyme Q10, he said, I don't need it. This is the monotheistic thinking, meaning you catch on to one thing that probably has truth to it, but at the exclusion of everything else it could be helping. And that's how most people have looked at health for so long, like a single form of diet, like a raw form diet. Well, if you're on a raw form diet only, you're going to end up with multiple deficiencies. If you told me that you have a 70% raw diet, I say that makes sense. And 100% living, absolutely. Macrobiotics the same way. They don't use vitamins or minerals, but they're into specific foods grown seasonally and locally. The trouble is a contradiction. Most of what they end up eating is not grown locally and is available year-round, not seasonally. And it should be far more varied. Nathan Pritikin was the same way. Very low-fat diet, 10% calories and fat, but he died young, and it's an unhealthy diet. So what we have to do is we have to get away from a single nutrient concept. There is no single nutrient that is the best of all, best and best. All nutrients play a role. They're all essential pieces of the puzzle. If you have a high homocysteine level and you take B12, but you don't take vitamin B6, and you don't take, let's say, vitamin C and trimethylglycine, you won't have the same impact. Take them all together, and you will. So when it comes to vitamin C, here's my suggestion. First and foremost, I would start at a lower dose, let's say 1,000 milligrams a day for the first week. And the second week, 2,000 milligrams a day. Third week, in divided doses. Third week, 3,000. Build yourself up to 10,000 milligrams, and then build yourself down again, unless it's in the middle of winter, and in which case your body can use it, or if unless it's in the middle of summer, which is a natural protection by trapping free radicals that be getting you damage in your skin. The hotter it is out, the more you're perspiring, the more you're exercising, the more sun you're exposed to, the more vitamin C and vitamin E you need to protect you from the ultraviolet light. But there should be a graduating flow up and down. Not radical, and not getting up to a high level and just staying there. You have to give yourself vitamin breaks also. And that helps the body. I believe in letting, you know, changing the kind of foods I'm eating about every 3 weeks. I go to potatoes, and then maybe quinoa, and then to rice. But some people, they just have rice at every meal, or potatoes at every meal. I was speaking with someone from Lithuania who said that the diet is not a healthy diet. It's potatoes in everything and meat in everything, lots of fat and lots of bread. And as a result, the people don't have the healthiest bodies and teeth and gums. And it's not in the younger people that you see it. It's in the older people who now have accumulation of this. So you have to be more varied and have that rotation, all right? Then you should see a difference. Thank you. We're out of time. I want to, and let me see if I can take just Mary Ellen from New York City. Mary Ellen, you're the last person I can get on today.
Oh, I am so thrilled. Thank you so much. I am 61 years old. I used to be extremely healthy, brown belt in karate. And I don't know. I just got into a depression, stopped everything. But I've been suffering with ulcerative colitis for 27 years. And I am bleeding, and I can't get the bleeding to stop. And the next move the doctor wants to make is to put me on steroids, and I just don't want to do that. I don't know what to do.
Well, there's a couple things you can do that are positive. First and foremost, I would suggest some hypnosis by Michael Ellner, Dr. Michael Ellner, or Jacob Bimblich to find out why you have been depressed for all this time. What is behind it? What is the core that continues to hold your emotions and thoughts to where they're not in allowing you to evolve to your natural, positive, spiritual state? That's the first thing you have to work on. Then, at the same time, you have to do a complete detox and reestablish healthy bacteria, especially when you have ulcers, and also look at the nutrients, which are very easy to obtain, like sauerkraut or cabbage juice, unsalted cabbage juice, high levels of potassium-rich foods and potassium-rich fruits and vegetables in the diet, which also are important, vitamin C, which is extremely important, and a series of herbs that can also help, glutamine in powder form, 2 to 3,000 milligrams a day, very important as well. So you work on both simultaneously. You work on cleaning up your biochemistry and helping your cells and turn off inflammation. And black cumin seed oil is the strongest single oil you can take that is beneficial, that turns off inflammation in the intestine. So with the black cumin seed oil and the healthy nutrients, at the same time, understanding what is at the core of most of our depression, not all, but a lot of our depression is based upon anger. And unresolved anger and unresolved conflict, a feeling of betrayal, a lack of trust. And if we don't have trust, imagine how that limits us in the choices we make, the relationships we have, and what we do within them. And then we suffer from a guilt and shame of not being open and exuberant and positive and happy in our own lives. And so we get into this depressed or melancholy state, and that's when we take a beating. So I would approach it from both the causative factors at the emotional level and the healing factors at the biochemical level. All the best to you. We're out of time, and I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Now let's say hello to you, Therese Lead. Hi, you, Therese.
Hello, Gary. Today, in memory of those, all of those who have fallen in all the wars all over the world, a reminder that we should recommit ourselves to ending all wars.
You bet. You Therese Lee right now.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white.